Let's sit down. We're going to listen to our reading for this morning. It comes from Luke chapter 12.
The reading is from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Well, good morning. I have come all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, to preach to you this morning. Hopefully, the Lord is in this journey. Hopefully, he's in this message this morning. I want to, first of all, say thank you to Dave. For his leadership, his stand, his witness, his faithfulness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are blessed to have a leader that is willing to stand upon the word of God. Also, I want to say thank you to you, because many of you are doing the same thing. And I want you to know that you're not alone, that you're being literally being prayed for by Anglicans all over the world. They know who you are. And they are praying for you. So I want to thank you for your witness and for allowing your light to shine bright. Bishop Andy, good to see you. And thank you for your willingness to sacrifice and to serve and to do what you are doing for the gospel. Just for your own prayers, New Zealand is now in the same position that you are. And many folks are wrestling with the same issues as you. And so I want to encourage you to keep the faithful in New Zealand in your prayers. As there, each parish is trying to decide, what do we do now? What would God have us to do? Well, let's pray before we open God's word. Our Father, thank you so much for your love for us in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the truth in your word, and thank you for the reading this morning. And as we open it together, we ask that you would come in the power of your Spirit, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and wills to apply what you would have us to this day. Come, Holy Spirit, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this message is The Parable of the Ready Servant. And our text is Luke chapter 12, verse 32 to 40. Now, the context of this passage is that Jesus has been doing a series of teachings, and the crowds keep getting bigger and bigger. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, we find this: in the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together and they were trampling upon one another. I mean, people were coming from all over the place to hear him and to see him and to understand what he was saying. He continues teaching about the kingdom of God and kingdom of God issues, about transparency, about heaven, about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, about the parable of the rich fool, about not being anxious. And now Jesus speaks to his listeners about being ready, ready for the return of the Son of God. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open with me to Luke chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 32, And let's look at this teaching that Jesus has shared with. The text begins with Jesus telling his followers that they have been given the kingdom. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He has given his followers the kingdom. That is, you and I are citizens of the kingdom of God. We're servants of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For many people, being a citizen of our own country is a big deal. But an even bigger deal is being a citizen of the kingdom of God. He says here, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Well, what is the kingdom of God? We're told the kingdom of God is given to those who allow Jesus to reign, to rule. The kingdom of God is given to those who allow Jesus to reign in their personal lives, in their churches, in their communities, in their nations. The kingdom of God is given to those who allow Jesus to rule. I wonder if this could be why we're seeing so much chaos in so many governments around our world. They've told God, by their laws and by their court rulings, that they just don't want God to reign anymore in the public square. And God's giving them exactly what they're asking for. You don't want me around anymore? Okay, so try it without me. You don't like my laws anymore? Okay, so live without them and see where that leads you. But he says here, the kingdom of God is given to those who allow Jesus to reign. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. He writes this, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and of joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." This is why Jesus said in the previous verses of this passage to not be anxious about food and drink. Look at verse 29. "And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink. Do not be worried, for the nations of the world seek after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." And before I go any further, because this is kind of a tough teaching this morning, I need to confess that I'm not there yet. I mean, we know what God's teachings are, or at least we want to know, and it's a process to change our ways. But the goal is to be about the kingdom of God, not the kingdoms of this world. It's so easy to get centered and focused, and our lives are revolving around the kingdom of this world. But as followers of Jesus, our lives are to revolve around his kingdom. Rick Warren, in his book called The Purpose-Driven Life, shares five purposes of the kingdom of God. As he puts it, the five purposes of your life are worship, that is, you were planned for God's pleasure; fellowship, you were formed for a family; discipleship, you were created to become like Christ; ministry, you were shaped for serving God; and evangelism, you were called and made for a mission. So, sisters and brothers, in this verse, verse 32, he says, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom." So the question is, do we really want the kingdom? Do we really want the kingdom of God? If we want the kingdom of God, then we must be a ready follower of Jesus. When I was in college, or as I believe you refer to it as university, I had a friend come talk to me one night about a girl he was dating. He said, "I've really enjoyed being with her. She's fun, she's pretty, she has great taste, she's spiritual, and she's easy to talk to. But I'm having a problem. Whenever we go out together, she is never ready. If I'm to pick her up at 7 o'clock, it might be 7:20. We've missed movies. We've had to change dinner reservations. We were supposed to meet my parents, and we were 45 minutes late for dinner. What am I supposed to do? I can't live like this. Some folks have to work at being ready. And while this friend's girlfriend did not realize the effect she was having, you and I need to realize that one of the aspects of following Jesus in the kingdom of God is being ready. All of us who are believers in Jesus, that is to say followers of him, we sing songs and we say things like, "Where he leads, I will follow." Or, "I have decided to follow Jesus." But are we really ready to follow? So the word ready means to be prepared, available, alert, willing, present, attentive, free, ready. Ready, it's prepared or available for a service or an action. Ready, being mentally disposed, being willing. Are we ready to follow Jesus? Verse 32 again says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's will and good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven." Jesus also tells his followers here not to fear. Why? Because the Father has given them the kingdom. Isn't this why so many of us are hesitant to follow Jesus, to be ready to follow Jesus? We're afraid. We're afraid of what it might mean. We're afraid of where it might lead. We're afraid of what people might say. But Jesus is saying, you have been given the kingdom. What else do you need? You've been given the kingdom. What is there to be afraid of? Earlier in this chapter, Jesus does tell his followers what to be afraid of. Look at verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before my Father? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." If we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we do not have to fear, and we don't have to fear hell. If we've accepted Jesus' death on the cross as an atonement for our sins, then we do not need to fear the life after. God is faithful in his promises. God desires to keep us out of hell. He doesn't want us to be a part of that. And God says we are of much value to him. Look at verse 6 and 7. "Are you not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of much more value than sparrows." Everywhere I've traveled in the world, I see sparrows. They're everywhere. And God loves them and cares for them, but he says, you are so much more of value to him than sparrows. So back to verse 32, Jesus says, "Fear not." And then Jesus shares 3 things for which the follower should be ready for. The first is ready to give, verse 33 and 34. "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Ready to give. A follower of Jesus is ready to give. A follower of Jesus is available to God to give of whatever he has or she has to serve the Lord. In this passage, he says that they were willing to sell their possessions and give to the needy. By doing so, those disciples attained treasure in heaven. By doing so, those disciples gained a pocketbook and wallets that would never be empty. By doing so, they were able to tap into the eternal resources of the spiritual realm, a follower of Jesus is ready to give. Now, isn't this where we modern Christians get tripped up the most? We want Jesus to be Lord of our lives, but we don't want him to touch our checking account or our mutual fund or any aspect of our finances. God, don't ask me to give you the first 10% of my earnings. Lord, don't ask me to sacrifice anything for you. If your Heavenly Father makes you aware of a need in which your funds are needed, and you have the funds, would you be willing to give? Are you ready? I hope so, because this is a kingdom priority. 1 John 3:17 says this. This is the ESV version. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Here's the same verse from the New American Standard. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And here's the way the Message translates this verse. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. A follower of Jesus is ready to give. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, secondly here, we see a follower of Jesus is ready to serve. Look at verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. A follower of Jesus is ready to go and serve. Now, just logically a minute, a follower follows, right? We're following Jesus, we follow. But are we really willing to go where God might lead us to serve him? Are we really willing to do what God might have us do? I've learned over the years that the Lord does not force us to do anything. He asks us to follow. And if I'm not willing to go, I won't. If I'm not willing to serve, I won't. If I'm not willing to do what God asks, he probably will not ask. Did you hear that? If I'm not willing to do what God asks, he probably won't even ask. So what's the point? If you're not ready, available, willing, he won't ask. Many of you wonder why you don't see much going on spiritually in your life. You must ask the question, am I ready for something to happen spiritually in my life? Am I dressed, ready for action? I believe the Lord wants us to say, here I am, Lord, use me in your service. Here I am, Lord, I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. I'm ready to be a great husband. I'm ready to be a missionary in Edinburgh. I'm ready to be a Christian businessman. I'm ready to volunteer at church. I'm ready to be a spokesman for you. Whatever it is you want me to do, Lord, I'm ready. What if God tapped you on the shoulder and said, go? Are you willing? Are you ready? Is your lamp burning, or that is your light turned on, waiting for him to lead the path? A third thing here from this passage, a follower of Jesus is ready to greet, ready to greet. Here Jesus explains using a parable which his listeners would have understood. Verse 36, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him once he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake. When he comes, truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. A ready follower is ready to greet the Master. Jesus says a follower is like a man waiting for their master. We're like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding. They want to be ready to open the door for him or to serve him and his bride. They want to be ready so that the master will have joy and delight. And what does Jesus say the master will do to those who are ready to greet him? The master will dress himself in servant clothes. He will invite them to recline at table with him. He will himself serve them. It will be good for those who are ready to greet the master. Jesus then summarizes the parable with this in Luke 12:40. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You see, one day Jesus will return. Will you be ready to greet him? You see, one day each of us will leave this planet and stand before him. Will you be ready to greet him? So this is the parable of the ready servant. So three questions for us to ponder this morning. Are you ready to give? Are you ready to serve? And are you ready to greet him? You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray together. Our Father, you are so good to us, and you love us, and you care for us, and you've given us the privilege of being in your kingdom. I ask for each of us that you would help us be ready, ready to give, ready to serve, and ready to greet you on that great day. And this is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.